Well, hello everyone. This is Linda Bunnell with the International Human Design School, and I am here today with Darmin and Leela, longtime teachers, students, teachers, analysts in human design. And they've been teaching for the IHDS for years. I can't even count. And so I just wanted to spend some time with them and get them reintroduced to the community because I know we have a lot of new people that have come to human design, and we haven't really done anything like this in a long time. So I thought I would just get a conversation going by asking a few questions, and so that you can get to know them. And I like to kind of start off by asking, where were you at? This is to both of you, Darmin and Leela. Where were you at in your life when you first came to human design? And, how did you find it, or how did it find you? That sort of thing.
All right, so we were just like, who's gonna go first? How are we gonna do this?
No, we weren't. You
So, welcome
were.
to the Darmin and Leela show. This is pretty much what it's like in classes with us because we're really different people, we're different individuals. But sometimes contrast helps us to see a larger picture. So, 1999, we met Human Design. Where was I? I was at that point in my midlife. I'd just gone past my Uranus opposition. The kids had left home. We'd been living in Hawaii for 15 years and moved to the mainland using astrocartography. And ended up in Las Vegas, which was a physical, emotional, and spiritual wasteland after living in Hawaii. And I was at that place in life where I was questioning everything. We'd been in our relationship for about 13 years, so we were coming up on the end of a 7-year cycle. We were questioning whether it was correct to stay together now that the kids had left home.
Lot of
A lot of
questions.
questions and not much direction. And on top of that, we'd just gone through a business failure. We'd gone through a bankruptcy, which for me as an emotional being and an ego being was very traumatic. I had used my identity, was all built, I have an open G, was all built on ego. And my ego image of myself, living in Maui, having a successful business, being a mother, being, a partner to Darmin, and, all of what I thought that meant and what I thought I wanted in life was in tatters. And yeah, that's where I was when I met Human Design.
Wow, so dramatic. These
No.
emotional beings. Okay, so here's the story from the other side. My late 50s had been struggling most of my life with, trying to find some consistency in life. Got involved in a lot of things. A lot of them worked for as long as they worked, and then they didn't. And that includes relationships. I mean, everything you could think of, inconsistency ran my life. And I bought into being a man. I had to be responsible for making sure that we survived and the family could find some way to thrive. Well, it wasn't working. And Las Vegas really brought it home. I mean, it was like, wow, is this what life is going to be? Now, I had been friends with Mary Ann Winiger, another infamous human design practitioner for many years. And long she's always been kind of a guardian angel in my life, always providing me with guidance exactly when I needed it. So I called her and I asked her, look, you know, I'm dying out here. What the hell? Tell me something. And she said, well, and these are her exact words. Well, I've been involved with something for a few years now. And, well, it works for me. I don't know what it can help you with, but I think you ought to check it out. So she told us a little about human design. And, you know, I'm one of those people who, if Marianne says it, okay, I can live with it.
He bumped into it.
So we took a little journey to Sedona from Las Vegas in July of 99. We met with Ra. We had our readings.
And a partnership.
Which cost a hell of a lot more than we charged, that's for sure. And the thing that Marianne had shared with me was that my design was that of a reflected. It was the first reflected that had come through her computer. And that this was something, you know, really rare, different. And Ra confirmed it. So I got my reading. And from there, Leela and I recognized that where we were, living in Las Vegas, Leela at the time was supporting the both of us. We had tried this, one of those pyramid businesses, multi-level marketing. And I was the multi-level marketer. Yeah, we had roles really just turned completely around, but what the hell? And, you know, she was working on the road, opening stores. And, you know, we said, hey, this is not working where we are living. So let's go check it out. So we moved from Las Vegas to Sedona and began experimenting with human design. I actually went ahead and did a practitioner course.
Became an analyst.
And it was at that point that I recognized that if I was going to have my experience, Leela and I had to separate. And we talked about it and we agreed. Because I had no idea what quote unquote reflecting was. But from what everything that Ra had said, I really needed to have the space to experience myself. So I went to Seattle, where my kids live. I moved in with people that I know. But, you know, I had my own space. And it was the first time that I can remember as an adult being totally maybe the second time, being totally on my own. And I went on my exploration. Now, for me, it was a process of really taking a look at what it is that this energy was supposed to show me. Every day, I would take a blank body graph. I would put my design in. That's how I got to know me. And I would see. They said the lunar. They said the, you know, this lunar movement was going to show me me. So I said, okay, well, let me see. And for 3 years, even though Leela and I got back together before the 3 years was up, but for 3 years, every day, that's what I did. I mean, we had boxes, reams of paper.
Because we both did it, actually.
And so that's how we got into, that's how we discovered, that was the beginning of our process. Is that helpful, Linda?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, thank you for being so transparent and sharing. I think that's exactly what people want to hear. You know, what was life like and how did human design change things? And I guess that brings me to my next question is, once you started to study and digest it and get so involved in the classes and becoming teachers and all of this, well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but where I'm headed is that I'd like to know how it changed your life, but I'd really like to know how that first 7-year process was for you, you know, and then how your life is different now. So if that makes any sense or gives you something to respond to, that would be wonderful to hear about.
Okay, so I'll take the first leap. Because for me, that first 3 years, I found myself. And what I mean by that is I recognized that all of what I was running after had nothing whatever to do with me. That I was not a runner after. You know, being totally open, it's like you don't know until you actually begin to explore it. What is this life that keeps showing up moment by moment, that gets amplified with every energy that that shows up? It's a very interesting experience. So for the next 4 years, I really just went deeper into my exploration. And it was intense in that I kept running up against such old stories. I mean, they were so old. And, you know, and Leela played her part in my old stories because my mom was also a generator, emotional. So we were playing out a lot of my old stories about how to deal with, you know, this emotional generating being. Because that's all I felt when I was around her, is this emotional generating, this hum, this buzz. And it was annoying. And it, no, but it was annoying because it was so familiar and I was so tired of it, but I couldn't get away from it because I carried the same stories. So, and it really wasn't until probably after my 7th year that I really got into examining these stories that I was carrying. But during that 7 years, what I found was I found that my inconsistency was natural. It was me. It was nothing to run away from. It was nothing to, you know, to be ashamed of. You know, I'm a 6'7" African American male. There's a lot of projection people put on me. And I accepted a lot of it for most of my life. And finding that, okay, what they see is not me. Wow, that was a revelation. And to recognize that, all right, if I just breathe and I be present to this breath and I see what life brings as opposed to looking for something in life, wow, things really slow down. The pressure really lifts. And so that's what it did for me. It changed the entire way that I experienced what this journey could be. And I started experiencing what it is to be alive. That was me.
Hmm. Yeah, for me, you know, it was different. And for one thing, you know, I wasn't the reflector. I wasn't, oh, you're a generator. Oh, you're emotional. You know, a dime a dozen. And this was back in the early days when, you know, type had only been around for, you know, a couple of years. You know, I mean, Ra was still just beginning to lay down some of the deeper mechanics. You know, I think it was at the training that he did where he introduced the concept of color and people were just like, huh? It was so foreign compared to what he had been talking about. Being emotional, you know, this asking questions and responding, it's very different. And, you know, I hung out with Marianne a lot, and she and I actually sat down and recorded on cassette tape the first sacral session. I asked her questions and she responded. She's a pure generator. And we, you know, she sent it to Ra and, you know, he was like, ah, this is great. This is what generators need to do. Doesn't work for emotional generators. You ask an emotional generator a bunch of questions and it's chaos. It's chaos. So, you know, there wasn't a understanding at the time that, you know, one question. I had to discover that. I mean, my reading, Ross said to me, you know, at least sleep on a decision. And that was excruciating at the beginning. I was so used to jumping from the high end of my emotional wave and to try to stay at the high end and avoid the low end. So the first part of my 7 years was just getting to where I understood what strategy was. I mean, I'm not a strategic person. It was a foreign concept. And how that differs from my inner authority. And to actually recognize what emotional clarity felt like. It took me 3 years to where I made a decision that I felt that emotional clarity. I hadn't the patience before then. And it was actually Darmin asking me if I was ready for him and I to live together again. We, you know, I'd been working on the road. We stayed in communication. It wasn't like, you know, our relationship ended. We stopped living physically together. But I jumped into that separation with an understanding that we may never live together again. I couldn't live in the future. And it was interesting because when he asked me if I was ready to live together again, I got a, I wasn't ready. And it took me 6 months before I felt clear on that decision. And I gave myself the space and time to not rush into that. And when I reached my clarity, oh my God, it became the most ordinary decision in the world. There was no excitement. There was no dread. It was as ordinary as walking through a door. Way. Not walking through a door. And it changed my life. I mean, truly, I had been a sannyasa. I had been involved in all kinds of stuff before human design. And I'm a transmitter. So you give me something to sell, woof, I can sell it. You know, I used to say I could sell, you know, a belt to a snake.
A snake belt.
But I wasn't going to do that with human design. Been there, done that. And it was clear that that was not what I wanted to do with human design. That I had to see for myself if this worked for me. before I started selling it, teaching it, doing anything with it. Darmin had the moon to track. And I was of the opinion, well, if it was good for him, it's probably good for me too. There weren't a whole lot of classes in those days. I mean, Ra was teaching now and then. And we were right in the heart of it here in Sedona. But there wasn't even LYD at the beginning. There was your experiment. That was it. And so I started tracking, you know, the whole transits. And I remember the first time the sun went into the 12th gate, and I have a hanging 22. And I was, my mind was all like, woohoo, I'm going to be a manifester today. And then I felt that energy. And oh my God, did I recognize how cranky and just this of that energy. And I discovered, no, I did not become a manifester when manifesting energy came around. But it was the first moment where I recognized the energy of the transits. And it changed my life. Because I realized how often that energy had come around and I had reacted to it. It was quite an eye-opener. But I got to tell you, I'm a slow learner. I'm a triple split. I'm emotional. And I really did not feel like I had a sense that this was truly transformative for me until the sixth year. The sixth year, everything fell apart. I had been living my open root so deeply, it was running everything, every aspect of my life. You know, I was working 80 hours a week. I had to be the one to support the family. I had to be the one to do this. I had to be the one to do that. And it was literally killing me. And it wasn't until I could see how that conditioning was running me and to step back from it, that I was like, wow, okay, there's really something here. It's more than just a toolkit. This is truly an awakening process for me. And yeah. And in 2007, Ra asked Darmin to begin doing transit work. 2008, he asked us to teach.
Yes. So anything else, Linda?
Well, that was wonderful. I can so relate to what you're talking about, Leela, since I'm a triple split emotional manifesting generator. So, I mean, yeah, it probably took me 3 years as well to just get the sense of strategy and authority, period. And then I was thinking about when you were talking about how tight in the early days, you know, and I think I got my first reading in 1999 as well. And I remember, and thinking back on it, there were no classes, like you said. We were just so all alone. I mean, now look at it. I mean, you've got everything. You know, classes running consistently, you've got Facebook, you've got all kinds of things going on in the human design community. There's books written, there's, gosh, so much. So it's so different today to get involved than it was back then. And it was like, it was like feeling my way through the dark, trying to figure out what it meant to have emotional authority, because I was also conditioned to be spontaneous with an open spleen. So I was just didn't know what that meant. And I had to start with the simplest thing, like not picking up the phone when it rang and let the machine get it. Back then we had machines. And then listening to, I guess we had voicemail back then too, but or I think we did. Listening to what the person wanted and then taking my time, because the old me would just grab the phone and answer in the now. And I always ended up doing things that I didn't want to do. So yeah, I totally relate what you're saying. Took me a long time. Seems to be something that's fairly common with emotional definition, and then adding the splits in there is in addition to that. One thing, though, I wanted to ask Darmin about what when he was talking earlier about being a reflector. If you had, I know this may, you may not even be able to answer this, Darmin, but maybe you can. If you had one thing to say to a reflector, like one tip to give them, whether that might be slow down, wait, or whatever the case may be, what would you say to those reflectors out there that are fairly new to human design?
I wish them good luck. I would share with them that their journey is not like the others, so stop trying to be like the others. Find your way into your experience. The thing that most people, including most reflectors, really don't understand about this process of reflecting is that we're not here to experience the results of life. We're here to experience the experience of life. And that is vastly different. You see, in our openness, there is no consistency in our results. So if that's our approach, then we miss our life. My experience has shown me that what I'm really good at is helping people to recognize that being present is an experience that has no result to it. So that helping reflectors to learn to be present requires that they truly understand what their mechanics are. It's not something that you can think about. It's really something that has to be experienced. I'll give you, for me, the most profound experience in the beginning of my experiment that changed everything for me was the first time that I experienced myself being present. And in that moment, because part of what was taking place, I have a lot of physical stuff going on. I've had it for a while. So my body had been starting to debilitate. And almost all of my life, I've had a dread of dying. What was it going to be like when I died? What? And, you know, this, until human design, had followed me. And there was this one moment, and I remember it, sitting by myself in this little room in Sedona, this little cinder block room in Sedona, freezing out, cold, but it's, you know, I had a way to warm the inside of it. And it that's the thought. The thought was, I'm going to die. And all of a sudden, just sitting there, I took a breath and I did something that I had never done before. I checked the reality. And the reality was that my body was still here, still alive. I was still breathing. And it absolutely blew me away, away. And since that point, and this was in 1999, since that point, the fear of dying has not been present in my experience. And, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on with the body. Not a concern about it. And my point for myself has always been, hey, I'm breathing. I'm breathing. I'm here. So what? What? Should I be concerned about what's going to happen? Why? I'm breathing. I'm here. Life is supporting me now, right now. And so for me, that's what led me to the recognition that for reflectors, it's experiencing the energies of life. That's what we're here for. Not to come to any conclusions, but to recognize that the way in which we are experiencing this existence puts us in touch with being alive. And for me, that's the journey. It's the journey of discovering being alive. So does that help, Linda?
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. And I love what you said, the experience of life or of being alive. It just gave me the goosies, goosebumps. That is great. Well, let's see. We're probably about 30 minutes now, so we probably should wind things up, even though I could talk to you guys and ask you questions all day. I mean, I would love to go more into your profiles and all kinds of stuff. So maybe we'll do this again, hopefully, if you want to. But anyway, so we do have a class coming up in May that we should mention, Deconstructing the Daily Transits, and just wanted to give you guys an opportunity to talk about it, explain it to people so they know what it's about, and then they can join in if they'd like to.
Okay, I'll give you the thumbnail and Lita'll flesh it out. The transits. The transits provide our primary programming. Yeah, people have a little something to do, but it's the transits that provide the primary programming. And it's programming our software. It's programming our unstable, this and that mind. But what we don't recognize is that out of that programming, if we learn to observe it and not believe it and take it as being real, out of that programming, we get to see the stories. The stories point to our openness. And it's in our openness that our wisdom resides. It's not in your definition that you become wise. It's in your openness. So this transit course is to help people to begin to recognize that there's nothing wrong with the programming. Leela?
Yeah, the challenge is that if we don't recognize the programming, it's what runs the mind as decision maker. It's what runs the not self life. It's what creates the homogenized soup that we're living in. You want to see the transits? Go to Facebook. You'll see it there. It's on a daily basis. People living out the program. Turn on the television. Go to your coffee shop. It's around us 24/7. And it's so easy to identify with it. Transit study was how Ra, after the voice came to him, the first thing he did was to begin to observe the transits. Because he knew there was a chance he was crazy. But if he could actually prove the validity of this, then, you know, maybe there was something here. He watched the transits. It is the fundamental activity for understanding your experience of life on planet Earth. And that's regardless of our type. You know, reflectors, yeah, you know, they're built for this. But the rest of us, we all have more that is open in us than is defined. Definition provides a particular way in which we frame our experience. But it's still the experience coming through the openness, coming through those windows that we're here to be wise about. You know, transit is the fundamental education for experiencing human design. Not studying it, but experiencing it. And it, because of that, we open this course to all levels. You know, if you're brand new, if you've been at this for, you know, a dozen years, doesn't matter, because this is about your experience of the programming field and beginning to train your mind to its correct work, which is to observe the life. And the transits are the tool.
So that's it.
Excelente. Thank you both so much for joining me today. And I really enjoyed this conversation. Mostly what you guys were saying. We didn't converse that much, but I really enjoyed it. So would you like to say any final words to our community before we say goodbye?
Yeah, you enjoy us. You like us. Don't lie. Doesn't really matter what we say. Well, then that's not true. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, till next time. You know, jump in. The water's fine. That's about it. Bye for now.
Thanks. Bye-bye, everyone.